Hey, everybody. Before we get into talking about all the news this week, I just want to take a moment and discuss Spin for Perfect Skin, because Spin for Perfect Skin is the shower-friendly, travel-friendly spinning brush, which is amazing to be part of your skincare regimen, because even if you're a simple guy like me, you can easily incorporate the spinning brush into your skincare regimen and go on a journey towards perfect skin, because the spinning brush includes four unique attachments for light cleansing, exfoliating, a body attachment, and a pumice stone for all the rough patches. You can extract all the bacteria from the skin surface and reduce your pore sizes and instantly kill bacteria to ensure that your skin will stay clean. Sophie would love it. And then you can get a 70% off code. Our original price is $100 for the spinning brush. It'll go down to $30 with the discount. Go to vanityplanet.com/RHAP. That's vanityplanet.com/RHAP. Use the promo code RHAP and you could join us on the journey to achieving perfect skin at vanityplanet.com/RHAP. Promo code RHAP. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Rob Sesternino, and today we're talking about all of the stories on the internet that are always news AF.
If a story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be news AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some news AF. Actual, factual news.
Yeah, that's right. We're back live here on blab.im to talk about all of your news AF stories for the week. And let's bring in the news AF team. First, let's bring in the man who has been sex powdering all week long. Tyson Apostle.
Yep. I've been sex powdering my butt.
And then also the eye in the sky with the man bun. Here is Danny Bryson. Danny, how are you?
Hi, guys. Just taking big risks hanging out with Tyson while he's been sex powdering. It's been a dangerous weekend in the desert.
Yeah. How was the trip to go look at the rocks?
So many great rocks. Right, Tyson?
It was exactly what we had hoped for.
Except Rob wasn't there. So
not Rob wasn't there.
So it was exactly what you hoped for.
Yeah. We waited and waited.
He never showed up.
Yeah. Rob, do you think you could have hiked 15 miles with us?
I mean, all in one day?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I guess if my life depended on it, probably. Like, was it really like a really fast hike? Was it like a running hike?
We were going to threaten to murder you if you didn't finish. Is that what you...
So now we know how to motivate him if he won't do something.
Yeah, I mean, I'll murder you if you don't do this is usually a good way to start.
Well, I guess if that's, yeah, I guess
maybe we should create a fitness app where people give us their details, you know, like normal, and then we threaten to murder them if they don't lose weight. If you're saying that's the ultimate motivation, maybe that'll be the greatest weight loss app ever.
Yeah.
Well, so it's kind of similar to that Nathan for You, where he has them do something really shameful. Mm-hmm. And then it with their loved ones if they don't lose the 5 pounds.
Yeah. And speaking of Nathan for You, Paul Borges in the chat wants to know, was there a gas rebate at the top of that 15-mile hike?
Yeah, but you had to crawl through a small door filled with rattlesnakes.
Oh, forget it then.
Yeah, we couldn't find it.
Forget it. So we've got a new feature here today. For those of you guys watching live on blab.im, we can share a link here in one of the boxes. So as we go through these news stories, as an added bonus for those of you guys watching live or watching the archive of this, we will put up the link to the stories that we are talking about so that you can go and visit those links for more information. So just another cool feature they're working on here on Blab. Tyson, to follow up from last week, we did the story about the Gwyneth Paltrow $200 shake, which we said was so outrageous and can't believe anybody is doing this, before you revealed that you had all the ingredients for the Gwyneth Paltrow shake at your house that Rachel had purchased. She was away. You said you were going to follow up and have that conversation with her when she returned. How did that go?
It went with me explaining the story and then talking about the ingredients, and then halfway through my mind clicking and being like, I've seen these ingredients in my very own household. And I was like, what is ashwagandha? That doesn't do anything for me. Mm-hmm. And so I ran over and showed all the ingredients to you guys. And she's like, and I was like, it's $200 a shake. And she's like, no, I didn't buy them from Gwyneth Paltrow. I bought them. I found them on Amazon for a cheaper price. So we're buying generic ashwagandha powder.
Is that safe?
Not Goop branded.
But the sex powder was clearly the.
Yeah.
So she's buying the sex powder, but getting everything else off brand.
Yeah. So the sex powder and stuff, it's not actually Goop branded. It's just Goop endorsed. So there's a juice company in Santa Monica who makes all these powders. And Christy, who is Aris's wife, knows the owner of this juice brand. Okay. And so I guess she's buying them for Rachel and sending them. So I don't know exactly how it works.
She's not paying wholesale, allegedly.
She's not paying retail.
Retail. Is it retail or wholesale? I don't know.
Retail's the expensive. Wholesale's the discounted.
Okay.
I think she is paying probably close to retail, but the retail of generic ashwagandha powder is probably cheaper than Goop endorsed ashwagandha.
Okay.
Well, they've got a lot of overhead when they harvest that ashwagandha and moon dust. I mean, so
yeah,
they're
true.
Not making any money.
Yeah. So, can you imagine what it costs to get a trip to the moon just to get that dust? Yeah.
Crazy. So it retails as fair as they can be. They're not making any money.
Yeah. They're doing this for the good of the people.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, good to hear. So glad that Rachel is cutting the average cost of those shakes down to a more manageable figure.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you drill down any further in terms of like what are those shakes doing in terms of, does she feel any different? Is there any benefit from those shakes?
Well, she made a shake for me one morning and it tasted disgusting. So it definitely tasted healthy. Yeah.
Okay. And did you feel any different?
No, I was mad that it didn't taste like bacon. So yeah, anger.
Did you have an erection lasting 4 hours or longer? because you like need to see a doctor.
Maybe like an anger induced one.
Okay. Just be careful. Stay on top of that.
Yeah.
And start your stopwatch when it begins.
An angrection? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into some of these news stories for the week. And, you know, we always like to talk about, you know, when the little guy is getting screwed. And we hate it when that happens, where these big corporations are really sticking it to the little guy. And apparently that might be happening over at Starbucks. We talked about what's going on with these, you know, between the red cups and the polar bears at Starbucks. But we have another Starbucks story that we want to talk about here due to a class action lawsuit being levied against Starbucks for reports of the drinks being underfilled and shortchanging the customers. Danny, have you found this to be something going on in your experiences at Starbucks?
I never go to Starbucks.
Ever?
Well, no, maybe once or twice. But I mean, if you go to any restaurant and you order a certain amount of fluid ounces, I don't think you're going to be getting that exact amount every time.
Yeah.
Right.
Are they putting the Starbucks employees in through training where it's like, make sure to shortchange everyone on their drinks?
Yeah. And if that was the case, someone would have spilled the beans and be like, I worked at Starbucks and they have an order from the top.
They're spilling the beans out before they go in the cup. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. And they have an order out that says, do not fill the cup all the way up. I mean, it seems like that would be exposed quickly. So I don't think that's the case.
I'm not sure if there's one of two things going on here. Are they saying that the cups are being underfilled, or are they saying that the cups are actually too small? I think that
they're saying both.
Yeah, I think they're saying both things. So
yeah, I read the article and they were saying both things.
It seems like that this is a pretty easy experiment. I mean, just take one of those cups and then get a measuring cup and see, you know, how much water you could hold with it.
I'd like to think that the people bringing forth this lawsuit have done that.
Yes.
But I wouldn't put it past them.
But this could be a huge deal, because if they side in favor of the class action lawsuit, then this is going to be open to anybody that goes to Starbucks. The real trick is going to be, you know, what are they going to award in terms of, like, if they decide, okay, everybody that ever got a latte is owed back 5 cents, then how are they going to figure that all out?
Yeah. Have you guys ever gotten one of those letters in the mail that say you may be a possible recipient for a class action lawsuit? You may receive 25 cents paid out over the next 5 years.
Yeah.
I've gotten one of those and I threw it in the garbage.
Yeah, I've gotten one of those too. And it was for something like really scary. And I was like, what?
Like what? Like what?
It was like asbestos or something. And I was like, are you kidding me? How did I even get that?
The asbestos or the mailing?
The asbestos. When was I exposed to asbestos and how did they know I was exposed to asbestos?
So you felt right. It was better just to not even like look
ignore
into
it. Pretend like it never happened.
That's what you do when you're dealing with asbestos. Just ignore.
Yeah. So are you guys feeling that you are not getting enough coffee when you go to Starbucks and order a drink, Danny?
I feel like I'm not getting involved in enough class action lawsuits. Seems like it might be safer to play the class action lawsuit world rather than the lottery, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a lower risk, higher reward.
You get
in
enough class action lawsuits, like cheesy mozzarella stick lawsuit, the Starbucks lawsuit. I mean, they're out there like crazy, and eventually you're going to hit big.
I mean, there's ways you can maximize the liquid content of your order. It's like, don't order whipped cream. No ice in any icy beverage.
Yeah.
And then you're maximizing. If that's like your goal, then that's easy enough. But I feel like if there's something really to this lawsuit, the cups have to be too small. Because I think when they advertise the cups at like 24 fluid ounces or whatever, the cup measures exactly 24 fluid ounces. So you're not actually getting that much beverage unless you fill it to the exact brim.
Yeah. What we should do is just like, I'm sure that the moon dust and all that stuff comes with a lot of asterisks. You know, like the FDA,
just put
asterisks everywhere, all over the menu, everywhere. I mean, people still
may or may not actually be.
Yeah, right. We'll just live in a world of asterisks. I mean, baseball will have asterisks about steroid use, and then just everywhere we go, we'll just see asterisks, disclaimers.
Yeah, I think that that's a good point. Like, I was walking past Subway the other day, and I saw that they had a sign about their rotisserie style chicken sandwich that they were advertising. And I think the word style might be even better than an asterisk, where if Starbucks was to advertise their 12 ounce style coffee beverage, I think that that would probably save them a lot of aggravation and future lawsuits.
Looks like a 12 ounce. Yeah. In your mind, that's what you're getting. So we've styled it after a 12 ounce beverage.
Yeah. This is like our venti style Frappuccino.
I like that. That's better than an asterisk. Yeah. Because the rotisserie style is so perfect. Because you're like, huh.
What does that mean?
We use seasoning that tastes like rotisserie.
Yeah.
It's in the style of rotisserie. I like that.
There's no like rotisserie spit like spinning around at a Subway, but it's like that.
Yeah. Or Steph also said like the juice flavored drinks. And then that does have an asterisk though, where it's like does not contain any actual fruit juice.
Yeah, right? Just asterisks everywhere. Yeah. Nothing is what it is.
Yeah. We should probably incorporate an asterisk into news AF somewhere. I think that probably after the word news, then asterisk and then AF, probably.
Yeah. Three guys hanging out.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that this is a bigger problem? Is this just the tip of the iceberg with these drink lawsuits? That do you think that more and more different restaurants are going to be coming under fire for misreporting their beverage?
Well, they already have.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could see any have. Place that fills
Subway with their 11 inch foot long sandwiches.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yes.
And there were a lot. There was other stuff like that. I can't remember all of them.
Who are these people walking around with measuring tapes and those cups that measure ounces and
big business?
I don't want to know who these people are. I want to know what they look like. Is this like the future contestant of Biggest Loser? Just like, I want my inch on that sandwich.
No.
I picture a woman with a knitted sweater and like some, you know, glasses and a calculator. Or a grumpy man, you know, with a scowl on his face, who's like, I'm out here to, you know, get my money's worth.
Class action lawsuit waiting to happen.
Yeah. Got his calculator, he's got his yellow notepad.
Yeah.
Well, going around.
I think that these fast food chains should all adopt like the clear graduated cylinder type cups where they could sort of like you can see clearly what the markings are and see exactly how many ounces is in the cup. So that way nobody can ever say that they're doing something wrong.
But if you are doing something wrong, you could adjust those lines to be less than what they actually advertise.
Yeah, that is true.
That's what Starbucks is getting accused of here.
Yeah.
Or adopt the 7-Eleven bring your own container Slurpee.
Did you see that
thing?
Yes.
That was out of hand.
People had like 5-gallon buckets, dude.
I saw a guy with a fish tank.
Yeah.
On the building. That just blew my mind that they were cool with that.
If somebody had a toilet, I think.
How much did they pay? How much were those free?
I'm not sure. I don't really. I saw that they were bringing the cups, but I wasn't sure what the promotion was.
It was $1.50. $1.50 to fill your own container, to fill anything.
One of my heroes in high school, he went into we had a place where all the high school kids would go and eat, and he went in with a boot and put ice in it and soda in it, and then went to the counter to purchase. And until I saw the 7-Eleven thing, I hadn't seen anything better than that.
That was your hero?
Well, yeah, I was like, that's a pretty great move. I mean, everyone thinks about doing something like that, right? We've all thought about finding a random weird shaped container and then using it to fill up a soda at a gas station. You got to have heroes, right? Yeah. Well, what's the point in living?
Yeah, you really do.
That's the American dream.
Have a hero?
To have a hero who fills up soda into different containers.
Now we have millions of them.
Yeah. You're all heroes. Okay. Let's talk about another story that's come out this past week about something that went on at a Microsoft convention, which they were having about for Xbox, where they had to issue an apology after they hired a number of exotic dancers to work their gaming convention. Now, Danny, you're probably the biggest gamer of the three of us.
Okay, you want me to throw in my 2 cents?
Yeah.
It's a tough move because obviously a lot of these guys, they don't see women in the flesh, like in the real world. So here's an opportunity to go to an Xbox themed event and see an attractive woman. But the problem is the gaming community is known for being misogynistic. So they want to bring in women, but they also want to keep their lonely male, you know, customers happy. So it's a tough call. Now they say they brought the exotic dancers in to get everybody to dance.
Yeah.
That was the line that they threw out. But a lot of the women involved walked in and were just disgusted by, you know, the stripper atmosphere.
Yeah, the single woman who was involved with the Xbox.
Yeah. The two or three women who showed up at the event.
To be fair, I believe this was a conference for developers of this. And I think that there were some female developers who were really upset about this this incident. And it was a bad look for Microsoft and Xbox.
Especially at this time, I mean, with Gamergate, which you may or may not be aware of.
Yes.
You know, they should probably be a little bit more sensitive to these types of things. It was not a good idea.
Yeah.
Oh, I think the idea was not poor if they wanted to get the party started, but what they needed to do was get both male and female dancers and not have them be them stripper selves, just dress them up. They could just hire actors or anybody just to get the dance floor started.
Or just dress them up like Minecraft characters. You know,
they could pose as developers and then start dancing. You know, ask other people to dance if that's what they were. Because if you've seen those like elementary school or junior high dances where the girls are on one side and the guys are on the other and nobody wants to get going. In the article, that's what it sounds Microsoft was wanting to do. But if that was the case, too, why didn't they just go back in time to the Windows 95 launch and get all those guys off the stage and bring them? Have you seen that video of the Windows 95 launch where they're all dancing and it's like, you guys have seen, you know, the video I'm talking about.
No, right? I haven't seen that.
I'm creating a video in my brain. That's probably as good as
you've
the real
got thing. A YouTube. Does somebody have a link for that Windows 95 launch party?
Yeah.
Somebody Google it and post us the link in the chat so we can put it up here.
Here's
it
the other thing, so Tyson, good. With your idea. If a person Bill came Gates. Up to me fully dressed and dancing, I would just think they were a weirdo, right? I'd be like,
yeah, but what if they came up and were like, hey, do you want to dance? Let's blow off some steam.
But if a
what
girl,
if it was a super mega hot chick?
Yeah, if a super mega hot chick scantily clad came up and danced, you just automatically start going like this because you're like, oh, I got to dance. There's an attractive person in front of me. Oh, here we go. This is...
Oh. Okay, here's our YouTube. Here's the YouTube Windows 95 video. Rob, can you put it on there?
Yeah, can you? Are you able to see this or no?
I'm seeing it. This is great.
Yeah, so yeah, so yeah. I guess they had the Rolling Stones involved, and Bill Gates is dancing for "Start Me Up."
This is really hard to watch.
Yeah,
that was hard to watch.
I'm telling you, right?
I would dance if those guys were dancing, because there's no way I could look worse than them.
Yeah, you're right.
That would actually be a good strategy.
So I think Xbox. That's a good point. So instead of like hiring these strippers in like schoolgirl uniforms, like have Bill Gates come down and get the party
Pudgy
started.
White men
and it's
dancing.
Like, right. And it's like, khakis. Hey, if he's doing it, I could do it. I know that I would be very self-conscious to dance at a party. But if I saw Bill Gates like acting really like dancing worse than me, I'd be like, okay, well, I could do it. You know, no big deal.
He's a billionaire.
That's
is
a great
this how
idea.
He got where he is.
Yeah,
that may be the only instance where I would dance right there. I'd be like, dude, I can do this.
I can outdance Bill Gates. All right, so that's a good note for the next conference that they have. Either that, so that's option A, and option B is to have also a bunch of hot guys. But again, I feel like that I would be much more intimidated if they had all these hot guys dancing. I think that the Bill Gates way is a much better way to go.
Totally.
Yeah. All right, okay. Tyson, I think you cracked that one.
You're welcome, Xbox.
Yeah. So the next party people have, they should have like the, you know, really nerdy dance team come out and then get the party started. And then everybody be like, well, I could do better than these guys.
The Best Buy Geek Squad.
Yeah. Okay. So our next story is about somebody who was interviewing for a job at the fast food restaurant Popeyes. And during the job interview, there was a robbery that was taking place where somebody came in and when the cash register was open, grabbed all the money out of the cash register. And the man on his job interview was able to turn around and fend off the would-be robber. And then he ended up getting the job. Danny, is there any possibility that this was a plant?
Well,
inside job.
Yes, it is. But it's a risky one because some people get fired for intervening during a robbery.
Oh,
yeah.
Don't be a hero. Yeah.
And and the guy who got assaulted could probably try and press charges for assault.
It's a risky move.
It really is. Like a lot of store employees are told not to chase or intervene with robberies just to call the police.
Yeah.
And it's not for their safety. It's because things like this can happen. If you hurt the person and then it's kind of gets like in a sticky situation where it's like, yeah, I was robbing this place, but I didn't expect this guy to stop me and hurt my arm.
Yeah. So you think they should have fired that guy right on the spot?
Yeah. Just tear up his thing right in front of him. Why does he hold it down the thief? Just be like, sorry, bro.
Yeah. That's really interesting. So yeah, that you're right about that. So I didn't even think of something like that. And what's our policy if somebody tries to hold up this podcast at any point?
I mean, you can defend yourself, but you do not want to be the offender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't be a hero.
Don't be a hero, man.
That's what we tell kids these days.
Yep. Yeah. A lot of people are like, have you seen that meme? Is it meme or meme?
Meme.
Have you seen that meme where it says it doesn't cost anything to be a good person?
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, it can cost a fortune to be a good person.
Yeah, I tried to be a good person once and it cost a lot.
How so? What happened?
I saw a stereo in the road. There had been a lot of break-ins in my neighborhood, like people stealing stuff from garages. So not necessarily break-ins. So I saw a stereo out on the street and I thought, you know what? I normally don't help people out. I normally don't do the, you know, nice things for people. I thought I'm going to go take this up to their doorstep because they've obviously left it on the street after, you know, being outside all day. So I picked it up. And right when I picked it up, a bunch of high school kids came out. They're like, whoa, what are you doing? What are you doing? And they were running some kind of like stupid sting operation.
Right.
And so I got into this 15-minute argument with these kids. And they're like, we're going to call the cops. You know, you were stealing. So I'm like, dude, I was just moving this out of the street up to your porch so that no one would steal it. And I'm like, you know what? If you're going to call the cops, do it. But I'm leaving. And then right then and there, I said, I will never do a nice thing again. I'm done.
So
I'm out of the game.
The kids like set a trap.
Mm-hmm. They were just a bunch of teenagers thinking they were going to set a sting thing because, you know, everybody in the neighborhood knew that stuff was going missing.
So I
got caught up in their sting.
Yeah. Was it a sting to catch the real burglar or was it just sting?
It was a sting to catch the people who were going around the neighborhood stealing stuff from garages and front yards and stuff like that.
Who ended up being the perpetrator?
Oh, I probably said a bunch of druggies. Like you might know them. We can talk about them later, but there is a lot of drug use going on.
What are you implying about Tyson and his friends?
I'm just saying that Tyson might know the kid and his friends that were doing it, but I don't want to say it over the air. But I mean, everybody kind of knew who it was because there was one house in particular where the kids were doing a ton of drugs and they didn't have jobs. So
you're saying you want to protect the criminals in this case and not be a good Samaritan and warn us.
I'm just going back to what you said earlier. There is a price to be paid when you do good things. It's like when people pull over to help someone whose car is broken down on the side of the road and then they get shot for their good deed, which happens every now and then, you know? And so those are the stories you remember rather than the millions of people who stopped and helped someone and everything worked out. The ones I remember are the ones who stopped to help and got shot, you know, trying to help.
So anyways, this kid at Popeyes is a real hero.
Yeah.
I feel like
he took a big risk.
Yeah.
I want to go back to, so in Danny's town, there was a series of robberies and everybody knew it was one person, but nobody said anything.
No, they didn't have any hard evidence that it was him and his group of friends.
Yeah.
That was a problem. Like he stole my bike. I went straight to him and said, give me my bike back. He said, no, I didn't take it. Months later, showed up at a pawn shop whose ID was used to sell the bike. His ID went back to his house, told him, you have to go get my bike. I know that it was you. He sold a $1,500 mountain bike for $80. So he had to go down, give the pawn shop $80 to get my bike back. But that's what I mean when everybody knew who it was.
Tyson, did you know Danny is like a private investigator?
Yeah.
Solving crimes?
Dude, yeah, he's very smart, but 34.
Boy, his town really screwed up by making him into a person who doesn't want to do good things anymore when he could solve these cases.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's very, very smart, but he couldn't integrate himself into the system. That's why he could not work for the police force. But he's definitely a private eye where he kind of, you know, lives by his own rules and stakes outs and stuff like that.
I would help Tyson, right? And I would even help you, Rob.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Danny. I appreciate it. So. All right, well, if we have another case that we need somebody to work on, we'll get Danny.
Tyson and I will get on. We'll put our services up on Craigslist.
Yeah. What if we let the listeners, if they wanted to write in with a case, would you be open to helping any of the listeners?
We can talk through it, definitely.
You said you're at the game of doing good things for people.
Maybe I should slowly work my way into becoming a good part of the community.
Yeah.
Until you get murdered.
Which is seriously what's going to happen. So maybe I should just.
You don't know that for sure.
No,
not for sure.
But my imagination tells me that that's probably the outcome.
Okay. Let's talk about another story that's going on where there was a contest that was going on for the country of Great Britain was working on they had a new research boat that they were trying to develop. And as part of this big, exciting project, they were going to open the naming of the ship up to the internet. And this
bad
is
idea.
It's a good idea to make the boat, but not a great idea to open this up to the internet, which has decided there have been 21,000 votes cast for the name Boaty McBoatface.
Obviously, these guys aren't familiar with how the internet works.
Yeah. I mean, if you could take me back in time like a few weeks and be like, hey, Great Britain's going to let you vote on this boat name. Boaty McBoatface would be like one of the very obvious choices.
Yeah. The second place finisher right now is the RSS Henry Worsley. And there was also some hope that it would be named after James Clark Ross or Ernest Shackleton. But right now, Boaty McBoatface is really just killing it in terms of the online vote.
Now, someone can check this, but I think that something similar happens all the time. People have the internet name their babies, their dogs, their boats, their cars. But I think that Greenpeace or somebody years ago had a contest to name this whale that they had saved or done something, and they were hoping something majestic would come out of it. But the name that won was Dr. Splashy Pants. I mean, you want to check that story. It's probably 10 years old. but I heard it and I remember thinking, yep, that's exactly what I would expect.
Dr. Splashy Pants is good too, because you could come up with a lot worse names than Bodie McBoatface. And I think that I hope they stay true to their word, because if not, this could create an entire uprising.
No, they said in the article I read that they had rules in place and it sounded like they were already laying the groundwork to get out of the name.
Saying, so the people have voted for this name of the boat, but at the official boat naming convention, that there could be maybe some sort of open convention to then have the will of the people overridden by the establishment of the boat naming convention.
It's an asterisk. There's an asterisk there.
Mm. It's Bush and Gore all over again.
Yeah. I heard the leader of the Bodie McBoatface movement has said that there will be riots if the will of the people is not carried out here of Bodie McBoatface.
Threatening riots is a pretty common procedure when not getting your way.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to be teabagging on that boat and stuff, or what's...
The people that voted for Bodie McBoatface.
Yeah, like a tea party style thing.
You know what's amazing is that Bodie McBoatface, and Tyson pointed this out, is rather harmless. Like, the internet could come up with a lot worse names. And maybe they were suggested, but this didn't pick up speed. But Bodie McBoatface, that's what I would name like my kid's bathtub boat toy, you know?
Yeah. I think Bodie McBoatface is plenty fine. I think go with it. Unless you can somehow like... Sir Sean Connery. I think that would also be a good name for a British boat.
The only problem I see with Bodie McBoatface is if the boat got into trouble and they were calling the Coast Guard, they're like, this is Bodie McBoatface first taking on water.
We repeat.
I think the Coast Guard might not take them seriously. Please repeat that. This is Bodie McBoatface. We're taking on water. We're cracking up out here. And they'd be like, yeah, this has got to be a joke.
Yeah. Right. I think in the face of some sort of like tragedy where if anything was to happen to the RSS boat or the RRS Bodie McBoatface, if there was like some sort of a news report, it would be hard to be sad. But tragic news as the RRS Bodie McBoatface has been lost at sea.
But maybe it might be a good idea if there's any possibility of tragedy on something, we just give it funny names so that we don't feel sad when we hear the news.
Yeah, we can somehow abolish sadness throughout the entire world just by naming everything silly names.
Yeah, you're going to take, this is the RSS Shackleton. It'll be like, oh, this is serious.
Yeah.
This is serious, right? But this is RSS Bodie McBoatface. We're going down. The Coast Guard would be laughing on the other end.
Yeah.
And it's probably would be just tragic.
I think you also have to take into account what this boat's missions are, because if its mission is, if it's like a warship, I feel like they need to name it something like Liam Neeson. Mm-hmm. But if it's
research vessel. So it'll be down.
So research vessel. I think it has to have doctor or MD in it or something, or scientist.
Doctor scientist, MD.
Dr. Splashy Pants is already taken. So
Dr. Splashy Pants, scientist, MD.
The RSS Splashy Pants.
So, Danny, do you think that a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the guy who changed his name to Bacon Double Cheeseburger, do you think that he was just like trying to be more lighthearted in case anything ever bad happens to him?
Yeah. So if he ever gets murdered for helping someone who's got a flat tire on the side of the road outside Detroit,
it ends up being a feel-good story.
Like no one will worry because it'll be like, yeah.
Did you hear what happened to Bacon Double Cheeseburger?
Double Bacon Cheeseburger murdered. And you're like, dude, I'd love to murder a double.
Those a day. Yeah,
I'd love those. I'd love to murder one of those. This eliminates all sadness.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So in hindsight, maybe we'll see what happens. And we'll keep you guys posted on what happens at April 16th, which is the date of the deadline for naming the boat. And we'll see if the will of the people ultimately gets carried out or not. Let me just take a quick moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Wix.com. Because if you need to get the word out about your business, it all starts with a stunning website. Because if you need a website, why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix will have something for you. Wix.com is used by more than 70 million people throughout the world, and you can do it yourself. You don't need to be a programmer or a designer. Danny, I know you are very self-sufficient. You don't want to be at the mercy of some programmer or designer, right?
You don't want those people holding your fate in their hands.
That's right. Hundreds of designer-made customizable templates to choose from with easy drag-and-drop features and no coding needed. You can get your website live today. Well, why wait, Tyson?
There's no reason to wait. I feel like if you're in front of a computer, which if you're hearing this right now, you already are, then why not go to Wix.com, get a discount, and also create one of the dopest websites on the planet.
Yeah, it's free to try. You can go to Wix.com and sign up for an entirely free account today. No credit card required. It's easy and the result is stunning. So go to Wix.com today. That's W-I-X.com today. So another story that happened this past week where we ended up with a... this is a happy story, I think, where there was a baby that was born and a grandmother sending out a group text. These grandmothers do love the group text. And they sent out the news about this baby that was born and they ended up having a wrong number on there, which turned out to be two guys who were two brothers who happened to get the text message. They said that, no, this is not us. And they stayed on the text chain and they said, hey, we want to come by the hospital because we have presents. And then here they are there. You see them in the picture that they came to visit the couple in the hospital.
A couple very things hard. About one is that everyone ignored their message. The first one or two messages were like, this is the wrong number. We don't know who you are. And it was just glossed over. The second thing is when they asked for the address to the hospital, that information was just freely given. it's just like the people in this chat group just ignored them.
Right.
Yeah, it could have turned out horribly.
But it's a great story.
It ended up warming our hearts.
Yeah. They even brought a gift.
It turns out to be a lovely story, but it does
what did
seem
they bring? Frankincense and myrrh?
I guess two wise men. It does seem super odd that, hey, we're two guys. We have nothing to do. We love babies. We'd love to come down.
Yeah. If a grown man texted me, a grown man stranger, and told me he loved babies, I would wanted to, so many what, alarms would be going off in my head.
He's like, what room are you in?
Yeah.
Like, the minute that question's asked, it's like, okay. My vulnerable wife is in room 105.
Yeah, and you can see the whole account of this that they've posted all of the screenshots of the text between the guy, Dioric, and the grandmother. And they have this whole conversation about how it's the wrong number. And then we don't care. We love babies anyway. We want to come down. Where are you? And you could see the whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
It really is great.
Luckily, they didn't text some gypsies who showed up at the hospital and then snagged the baby.
To eat babies.
Yeah. But I mean, these guys, I guess they just had nothing going on. They're just sitting there all day, like waiting, like, oh, hope somebody texts us and invites us somewhere.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, babies are super cute.
Yeah.
Not newborns.
Even little weird looking ones.
No.
Even little weird looking ones. They're
newborns
fun.
Newborns are disgusting.
You don't think they're fun to just look and see?
No, you're like,
well,
what
like
happened?
Brand newborn with the goop and the gray skin. But like once they get some color, they're all cute in their own weird way.
Yeah. Tyson, do you think it speaks to the narcissism of relatives of a baby where they think that, you know, like, why wouldn't people want to come and see this baby? It's so interesting. This is our new baby.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Because when I was in the hospital with a baby, secretly, I was kind of hoping that not a lot of people would show up just because it's easier to not have visitors.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't think people really care. I think everyone wants... I think parents want everyone to think their baby is cute, but I don't necessarily think that translates to why wouldn't people come look at this baby?
Look, babies are ugly, but evolution has forced the parents to believe in a fairy tale, and that fairy tale is that their baby is beautiful. And that's just so that they'll keep that baby around while it's pooping and screaming and crying all the time.
Yeah.
You can look at
I'm of a different mindset.
Okay.
This is what I think. I think the more small and miniature you make something, regardless of how it really looks, it's precious.
That only applies to puppies.
Except like imagine like puppies. A teeny tiny little cheeseburger, just a teeny tiny little cute guy.
Yeah.
You know how many people you'd have being like, oh, look at that cute little cheeseburger.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's so this small little human is automatically cute based on size alone.
So viruses are super cute because they're tiny.
No, but a tiny virus would be cute.
Yeah.
Because a virus is a regular size virus. But let's say you have like a virus that's like 1/100th the size and it takes like a super mega powered microscope to even get a little glimpse of it. I bet that thing would be so cute.
Yeah. What if it wasn't particularly virulent? Like it wasn't particularly dangerous. Would it be just cute harmless then? If it's like, oh, it's just a little harmless, because like the virus, while it is small, it is mighty. And I think that sort of makes it less cute. But if it really couldn't do anything to you, I think then it would be cuter.
Or I mean, if it just like made like a little pimple dot on your hand for like half a day. You're like, look at it trying.
Yeah.
That guy is so cute.
Yeah.
Like trying to do
something. Tyson, I get what you're saying. I understand the theory of cute smallness or whatever you would call it. But I just think that newborns, for the most part, are not cute. They're kind of gross. I mean, think about what they went through. It's like saying a boxer looks cute after his fight when he's all swollen and his eyes shut. He's got
no blood coming. But a teeny tiny little boxer.
No.
Wait, Danny, this is a pretty hot take. The babies are not cute.
No, newborns are not cute. That's what I'm trying to say. That those early stages of a baby's life, especially when they've just come out of this tiny hole and their head's been like squeezed.
So how long until a baby is cute?
6 months to a year.
6 months. I'd also like to know what was the exchange between grandma and new parents about what was going to be going on. Of like, hey, good news. I was texting and I got a wrong number. And I met some guys. They're going to come here. They're going to come. They want to come see the baby. What?
Oh, grandma.
What? I had to lie and tell them their family so they could even get in to visit.
Yeah.
I gave them the code to the door. To the,
baby door. Yeah.
Yeah. Because even though the guys first said that it was a wrong number, they said, well, you know, I don't know you, but me and the boys will be through to take a picture with the baby. I think that would be.
that's just
her reaction was so sweet. Love his name. Congrats. I think that was somebody else on the message.
Something else.
LOL 0687. You're cracking me up. Sorry, I got caught up in the baby thing. And then they insisted. That's okay. What's the room number at the hospital, right? We have gifts. And these guys just have baby gifts around.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm glad this worked out, but really it's fraught with danger. I wouldn't recommend you if you were in the hospital.
Could have gone horribly wrong. Yeah.
I just wouldn't recommend this to most people, to just let strangers enter your wife, you know, especially when the wife has just given birth. They feel like crap. They look like crap. The last thing they want is two strangers. I just don't recommend it, but I'm glad this turned out great.
I feel like, did our friend Paul just have a baby?
Paul Borges?
I saw a picture of Paul Borges with a baby on Twitter.
No, I believe that that one of his relatives had his friend. Yeah, I did see those pictures also.
I was going to have him weigh in on this and see if he would allow
he might.
Strangers.
He might.
Yeah.
He's very trusting, though.
Well, I liked that photo, Paul, because I thought it was your very own child. But just now that is your friend's.
Yeah, strangers are welcome.
I don't know.
It's a little
too close. Okay, so that's a happy ending to this story.
Yeah.
Could have gone
horribly wrong. Imagine if it was the guy that had robbed Popeyes that had been on that text thread. Then what would we have gotten?
Yeah.
It would have been like a modern day Herod.
All right. I want to know about this now. We are all people who rely on headphones to make podcasts and also listen to other sources of entertainment and media. There's a new brand of headphones, though, called Nervana, not like the band, Nervana, which claims to stimulate your vagus nerve, V-A-G-U-S, not like the place Tyson goes to play slot machines. And it releases a small amount of dopamine in your brain, prompting many to claim that they got high from the headphones. These headphones are retailing for $279, or you could pledge that on Indiegogo, and it's unclear about the safety of this. Now, Tyson, you don't drink. You don't do any sort of illicit drugs other than sex powder. So,
correct.
Would you listen to headphones that made you high?
I would have to see more research on these because is that good for you to currently stimulate yourself like that?
It says that vagus nerve stimulation is well-established science.
Oh, sure then. I would probably try it, but I doubt I would. I doubt I would get anything from it. I'm pretty immune to stuff like that, I think.
Why, have you tried to stimulate your vagus nerve before?
No, but I just like, even like caffeine and stuff, like if I drink a ton of caffeine before bed, I can't really fall asleep, but I don't really get like any type of high from it. I'm not more awake when I drink caffeine in the morning. It doesn't give me like, I don't react.
So you're saying you don't react to the small little things. You need like to smoke crack or to shoot heroin to really get high.
And I might not even react to that. I haven't tried it, but like even like painkillers and stuff like that, I don't really feel like, you know how people get all loopy on painkillers and stuff?
Yeah.
I've never felt that. I've never felt loopy on a painkiller. Because like Lortabs and stuff, you can get loopy on, right?
I guess. I usually just puke.
Oh,
but,
you do?
I will say this. I had morphine once. And okay. If morphine doesn't get you feeling good, then you're probably right. But it was amazing. It was like a wave of a warm blanket just sweeping over me, transporting me to like nirvana.
So Danny is pro-morphine.
I am pro-morphine. So, yeah. So just wait. Maybe sometime you'll get morphine in your life. And if that doesn't work, then I think you can make that claim that you're making right now.
Okay.
But you got to hold off because you haven't tried a lot of drugs. And
I haven't tried almost any drugs, but I'm just saying this: the little stuff that I have tried that doctors have recommended for me in that moment have not really done their part. So I have just been like, yeah, whatever.
So you just haven't found the right drug yet.
Maybe there isn't a right drug.
Maybe
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Don't do drugs because then I'll find you in my garage stealing my stuff. I know how this works.
Yeah,
it's a slippery slope. Then all of a sudden you're stealing the bike you sold me back from
and then you're forced to do a good deed.
Yeah. So don't do it.
I would like people to try out these headphones, but only when they listen to this podcast. So maybe that they just associate.
Get addicted.
Yeah, they get really addicted to. Like, hey guys, you got any more of those podcasts?
So
don't make them so short. Tyson, I need another 4-hour podcast.
The writer from The Verge, this is how he described it. He said the headphones feel strange. And he said, if you've ever placed a 9-volt battery on your tongue, it's the same sort of subtle zap hitting your ear like an electrified Q-tip.
That doesn't sound fun.
Sounds like something they might use in rendition. It doesn't sound like something you use for recreation.
Yeah. So I don't know about this vagus
like
nerve.
Guantanamo Bay type device, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't spill the beans, we're going to put these Nirvana headphones on you. No.
Yeah. No, I love Nirvana. Like, no, not that Nirvana. This is like the electric
band.
So what kind of music would you put through these headphones to just give them the ultimate bad trip? Bad music and then the 9-volt battery shocking them like an electric Q-tip.
ABBA.
Over and over and over again until they'll confess within minutes.
You don't like ABBA?
I think I think combined with the electric Q-tip, I think that might be really throw you off.
Yeah,
I guess.
I'm going to look up the music used in world. Torture.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I feel like it's all like techno.
I bet it's not. I bet it's their own music that doesn't carry a beat. And that's what's so infuriating. Is it like there's no rhyme or reason to this sound?
It's Mr. Big?
Yeah. No, it's like a 2-year-old playing drum.
Yeah. I heard it's the acapella group Voicemail.
Voicemail.
Yeah.
Over that would be infuriating. Over, well, I think, and their jokes. Mostly their jokes.
So I looked up stimulating the vagus nerve. So it says that if you start by taking a deep inhalation into your belly while continuing to count to 5, then slowly exhale while pursing your lips to get into a vagus nerve stimulation mode, then reduce the number of breaths from the 10 to 14 per minute to 5 to 7 per minute. So it seems like you could stimulate your own vagus nerve just by breathing slower.
Or go to the nearest street corner and talk to the man in the shadows. Sounds a lot easier to do that.
It sounds like kind of like an autoerotic asphyxiation style thing if you're starting to limit breathing and oxygen to your brain and stuff.
A lot of similarities.
Yeah.
All right. Well, more on that to come. This is a very funny story that I was cracking up when I was reading about this before the show. A woman was involved in a high-speed police chase, and she has a very unique car. She has a van which she painted to be like the mystery machine from Scooby-Doo, the van that the gang hung out in during the Scooby-Doo cartoon. And so she recently turned herself in an effort to get her van back. But the woman who was suspected of violating her parole when she began the chase is claiming that she was not familiar at all with Scooby-Doo. But her friends convinced her that this was a good idea to get her van painted like this. You can see a picture of the van. This is the part of the story that I don't get, that she is not familiar with Scooby-Doo, but people convinced her that this is how she should do her van.
And it says Scooby-Doo right on the side of the van.
Now, the part I find mystifying, if I may use that word, is that she thought that she could somehow outrun the police and she could just, you know, slip back into society. They'd be like, what'd the car look like? It was a minivan. I mean, there's like millions of those. We'll never find her. I mean, she's outrunning the police in that, the most recognizable van probably in the entire city.
Yeah. Oh, you mean, the mystery machine? Oh, okay. Yeah. I know exactly where that is.
Everybody knows where it is.
Yeah. The story says that the woman claims that by calling her vehicle the mystery machine, she would somehow be able to evade capture by law enforcement if pulled over. I don't understand if she thought that it's like a cloaking device if you call your van the mystery machine, or people would just be so impressed with it.
Or maybe it was like an insider thing where they're like, every cop's family van is painted mystery machine. And that's so they know each other and they know they're part of the brotherhood and they will not hassle you.
She needs new friends.
Yeah, right. Like, this we is used to have a mystery machine driving around town here. Do you remember that, Danny? Like 10, 15 years ago, there was a mystery machine that would drive around with a couch in the back. That's the end of my story.
My friend had a van called the mystery machine and it had a couch in the back, but I don't think it was painted like that.
No. They just called
there
it
was
that?
One painted like
that. Oh, yeah. He called it that. Probably. I mean, lots of people probably call their vans the mystery machine, you know, because they're all Scooby-Doo fans.
Yeah. But to get this person to paint her van this way, where she has no knowledge of Scooby-Doo, just seems like really like the ultimate goof, right? Like, what do you think they told her about Scooby-Doo to make her do it? Like, did they tell her like, oh, yeah, that look, mystery machine, it's from this thing called Scooby-Doo. But really what it is that, you know, you have immunity, diplomatic immunity to commit any crimes you want. That's what Scooby-Doo was.
They are trespassing all the time and they never get arrested. So it's a great idea. Plus, you like dogs and you like eating. So it's the perfect van paint job for you.
Yeah. So I really do love this story. So, and then she had to, how did she get away from the van in this high speed chase? So it was like, it sounds like the police then got the van, but did not get her. And then she turned herself in to get the van back.
Sometimes during high speed chases, they back off if they feel like this chase is endangering people in some states. So maybe the police backed off saying, dude, we don't need to chase her. Yeah. Well, you know, we can find this van on any day. And so they probably just backed off and then took her van when they found it abandoned.
Yeah, they're probably just like, oh, we know where this van lives. Let's just go get it there like tomorrow.
This is a 94 Chrysler van, which she turned into the mystery machine. Is that worth turning yourself in to get it back? What is the street value of a 94 Chrysler?
I think Blue Book without the paint job is probably like under 1,000.
Yeah.
And with the paint job, I think that diminishes the value to probably half.
What was
that
worth more? Danny's bike at the pawn shop or the mystery machine Scooby-Doo 94 Chrysler?
Shop. Yeah, Danny's bike at the pawn shop.
Could they get $80 for the mystery machine Scooby-Doo van at the pawn shop?
Yeah, I would pay $80 for that. I mean, if nothing else, you can drive it out to the West Desert and fill
it as a shooting car. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shooting
car. Or to stop erosion.
Yeah. Do you think Exhibit had anything to do with the paint job of that minivan?
I don't even know who Exhibit is.
Oh, Pimp My Ride.
Yeah. Pimp My Ride.
Yeah.
The show Pimp My Ride.
I saw that show.
So where they're like, what do you like? They're like, I like to watch cartoons. Oh, so here's what we're going to do. Cartoons. Scooby-Doo. We're going to paint the whole thing Scooby-Doo. You said you like barbecues. Inside is a grill. You can't use it. It will start a fire. Under the hood, we've removed the engine and put a makeup because you said you like to wear makeup. And then under the driver's seat, because it, you like, I don't know, I'm out of stuff. That
you like to go to the bathroom while you drive. It just yeah, empties exactly. Right into the street.
All right. So currently, the woman who was, her name is Sharon K. Thurman, that she is been booked on charges, including recklessly evading a law enforcement officer and driving on a suspended license. So we'll keep you posted if there's any updates about the mystery machine. One more story to talk about, and we always like to discuss these different dating sites that are out there, and this is one with a little bit of a twist because it goes in a different direction, but there is a dating site which is out there, which I'm surprised we haven't talked about, called whatsyourprice.com, where you can name your own price for dating eligible women.
Should we put dates in air quotes when we say dating? What's your price?
Yeah, so whatsyourprice.com is a site where a woman can go on there and then men can bid against each other for who gets to take this woman out on a date. Again, as far as we know, this is not a sort of escort service, that it seems to be just because it is, you know, these women's time is very valuable, that you are paying to a premium to go on a date with one of these eligible women. And should we talk about that part first before we get into the second part of this story?
Yeah, let's talk about that before we get into the old venture capitalist money that's pouring in for her.
Well, Danny, so you have all these other sites like Tinder, which to my knowledge are free, where you can meet people for free. Do you see any benefit in paying or bidding against somebody for a date with any of these women?
It sounds like the only people using this app are people who aren't aware that Tinder exists.
Yeah.
I have to make an argument. If women are getting paid to be on this website, it seems like more women would be on this website. So maybe it's a larger pool to fish from.
Yeah. Do you think you buy and subscribe to the theory, Tyson, of you get what you pay for?
Sometimes. Yeah, definitely. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. She, in 18 months, she made $5,000. That is not that much. Like, she could have been buying things from, like, you know, used stores and selling it on eBay and made way more.
Yeah. So you think that this was a bad use of her time to go ahead and go on dates with these guys?
18 months and $5,000. I mean, that just doesn't sound like a great deal. Yeah. And I don't know what she's doing to earn the $5,000, but
yeah, I do wonder though, maybe because on Tinder, because it's free and there's just, you know, people are just sort of like frivolously going through there. I wonder if maybe there's less connections where here, where it's like, oh, I already put, you know, $250 into this date. I better try to make this work, as opposed to I just wasted my money to not take this person out a second time. But I don't know if you have to pay again to go out a second time.
Mm. I having read the meter's article, running. I do admire this woman because it says that during her dates,
right,
she would pitch her suitors for her new app.
Yeah. So it was a bit like she took this on as like Shark Tank, where she went out with these wealthy men and then picked their brains for ideas for her own venture capitalist idea, which she ended up getting $2 million in funding for, which turns out to be, Tyson, a Uber-like service where attractive women come and pick you up in a car.
Yeah, not a bad idea, actually.
So let's talk about the merits of this idea. Is this a strong idea for a business? Attractive women who come and pick you up in a car and drive you where you need to go.
I mean, is this forwarding the feminist movement or hindering it? And I understand, because Hooters is a business, and there's those like bikini car washes that are businesses and stuff like that. So I mean, you're limiting your clientele to people who maybe have no shame or are lonely or are serial killers. But yeah, I don't think it's a terrible idea.
I think it'd be a good idea if she picked you up and then she offered you some hot wings. Combine those hot two wings. Ideas, right?
That seems messy, though. And what if you threw up in the back of the car?
No, it's all rubber.
It's all
rubber.
Plastic, which makes you very nervous.
Is that the same for this car also? Is that the same for this?
Yeah, it's everything's covered in plastic. That's a strong idea. At the end of the day.
Yeah,
that's a good idea here.
I don't know. There's so much stuff about this that just sends up red flags.
You think this might be actual crapshool?
No, not so much that. I think this is very real. This idea has existed for a long time. Just a little bit of a modern twist. What I mean is, like, we're not hearing all the truth. Mm. There's a lot going on behind the scenes that we're not quite getting.
Yeah.
As far as her arrangement with her investor or what?
Well, just her, the story at the beginning, whatsyourprice.com, that her whole involvement with that. And then this new app, it just, okay, it could be as simple as attractive women picking you up. But I get the vibe like maybe there's more to it. So it's something that we should keep our, you know, our attention on.
Keep our ears to the ground
until the FBI does some kind of sting operation.
Yeah.
Where they go in and get a bunch of blowies and then are like, whoa, this is
whoa,
bad.
Whoa, whoa. in terms of, you know, the practicality of this idea, and I can't find what the name of her business is. It's some sort of pun with the attractive women coming to pick you up. I'm not sure necessarily if I would love this idea as a concept.
Does it automatically post to your Twitter too, where it's like, Rob just paid $200 for attractive woman car ride service? Mm-hmm. Like, oh no.
Yeah, sign up through Facebook.
Yeah, I'm not sure. So it's either somebody is like, let's say I'm going to a party. Am I trying to go for that look where it's like some attractive woman is just dropping me off somewhere? Is that what I'm going for? Or is it that I'm trying to just like be in the company of an attractive woman for half an hour while I'm in traffic and I'm trying to like make small talk with her?
It's a place to go and kind of live out this illusion that you have not only an attractive woman that you can talk to, but she also drives you around.
Right.
So for like this small segment of the population.
It's like I'm in some sort of sexy carpool.
I think it's all the exotic dancers who lost their jobs from Microsoft after they got in trouble for hiring exotic dancers for a conference.
We will know if this is a great idea if Uber starts adopting. They have like Uber X, Uber, whatever else, and then they have like attractive Uber, right? Where you can have attractive people come and pick you up.
You know,
see
what?
If that makes a difference.
Here's my idea for venture capital. I'll be taking funding on this. I'll be going on dates with people to get funding for this. It's like an Uber, but it's the people who are the safest drivers in the world.
Ooh, and I like that.
They're not people who are like multitasking and also like trying to look hot or talk about pitching.
They've never
you
had an accident.
On thing.
They've
right.
never had a speeding ticket.
These are the people. Yep. And once they get a ticket or an accident, they're out. They're out of the business. They're disqualified now from this. And they just are very safe drivers who know what they're doing.
Why can't you get $2 million for one of your ideas? You look at the things that get money and you're like, why? How? $2 million? Really?
Mm-hmm.
What? Yeah, and the investor is like stated as saying he loves the idea and thinks it's awesome. And you're like, well, what about my ideas, man?
Yeah. They're worth $2 million. We've come up with multiple million-dollar ideas in this podcast.
Yeah.
Easy.
But are they $2 million ideas?
Oh, yeah. Our own powder company? That's at least a $2 million idea. Yeah. A $2 to $50 million idea.
All right.
So, well, I don't think we're ever going to see this business come to fruition.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, those are the news stories that I have from our document put together each week by the great News AF intern, Lita. Anything else you guys want to get out there while we're on?
No, you guys covered everything.
Okay.
That I wanted to talk about.
All right. Well, let's bring in Adam that he has a story for us. Let's patch him in.
Our Australian correspondent.
Yes. Here we go.
Hello.
Hi, Adam.
Hey, I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Super.
Are you wearing a plaid shirt?
Yes, I am wearing a plaid shirt.
Tyson.
I busted it out on purpose.
Go get one.
I'm sorry. I don't even own one.
Tyson's the odd one out now. Well. All right. Well, I've got a dating app for you guys.
Okay.
There is a new Illuminati Tinder for hot and famous people that is taking off.
Oh.
Yes, and it's called
Australian, or is this worldwide?
Well, it has been set in the US, but it's taking off in Australia. So there's a whole bunch of Australian celebrities that have signed up for it reportedly. But it's called Raya. And how it works is it's entirely based on Instagram and how many followers you have on Instagram. So in terms of the celebrities that are on here, we've got Diplo, Patrick Schwarzenegger, Avicii, a number of Victoria's Secret models. So only a handful of articles have been written about it. And there are rules where if you try and screenshot anyone's profiles, you'll receive a message that threatens your excommunication from the app the photo find its way online. So it's it's very intense. So I wanted to see what you guys thought about that.
Well, you often hear celebrities complain about how hard it is to date as a celebrity. So I can see the market for this.
Yeah, Tyson, would you be interested in something like this?
Rob, I'm married, bro.
If
I weren't, I would definitely join up just to kind of see if they would allow me. I feel like maybe I'm not even, if it's based on your Uber followers, I don't think I have enough, or not Uber followers. If it's based on your Instagram followers, I don't have enough Instagram followers, I don't think.
Yeah.
Who from the Survivor world would have a lot of Instagram followers that we could get on there? Maybe Parvati.
I would never do it. It's just another platform where you can be rejected, but this time by beautiful rich people. The worst rejection of all.
Yeah. So
yeah, it's much better to get rejected by ugly rich people or rich people
than ugly poor people, because then you can say, "Well, I have at least probably more money than you, so." You have something over there.
I think I'm just going to stick to whatsmyprice.com. I'll just go on there.
Do you have a profile on whatsmyprice.com?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Okay.
Mine would be $5.
That's your limit? I don't think it's people are paying to go on dates with guys.
Australian or US?
Yeah.
Australian. So that's like $2.50 US.
So $5 is your limit of what you'd pay for a date? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, I feel like men already pay for a date anyway, don't they? Really, it's very transactional.
Hot take, Adam. Take it easy, buddy.
Whoa. I always
slow your roll.
Even still with Rachel, I'm like, you're a strong woman, Rachel. Let's split this thing.
Split this. Yeah, let's go Dutch.
Let's go Dutch.
Yep. Let's go Dutch always. Yeah, no, I think that's fair enough. No, I would always try and split. But if, you know, some women, they like to be spoiled. Some men like to be spoiled too. But like I'm saying that, you know, we all, it's very transactional. Dating is very transactional.
I'm enjoying this, Adam. You're backpedaling. You can tell when someone's just like, I've said something, I've got to make a retraction. Yeah.
Send your comments to @AdamRita on Twitter.
I disavow.
Too late.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
All right, Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
Yeah,
all right. Well, this was a very fun show today. I really do like the ability to drop the links in there. It's a nice feature. If you watch us live, you can see what's going on there. You can also follow those links, I believe, in the archives too. I'm not sure if that feature is up and running, but we will find out after this episode. Anything else you guys want to mention today?
No.
Tyson, how about the 5-star News AF reviews of the week?
I got it right here.
Any reviews of the week, and they're not necessarily, we're not pressuring people into 5 stars.
Okay. I got it. Okay. Here we go.
Of course,
are you ready?
Can subscribe to the podcast at newsaf.news. That takes you to iTunes, and you can subscribe and leave us star ratings or click the link on the screen right now.
And if you don't leave 5-star, I'm just saying there could be riots.
There might be.
Okay.
Here we go. News AF. The Diet Coke Diet of Podcasts. 5 stars.
It's an old story.
By Tinker Ebel, a pixie.
Okay.
Beautiful.
I know some people like the standard news and some people like celebrity news, but if you want a one-stop shop for news that is actual and the debunking of news that is craptual, you can't do better than News AF. Where else can you learn the hierarchy of bodily fluids while also learning the best approach for alligator throwing? I know that I learn at least one new life lesson for every podcast. So if you want a place where you can learn the news in both America and Australia, try News AF. And the best part is, in a world where everyone is begging you to follow their every online move, Danny's Twitter is an oasis in a social media monsoon.
The oasis.
Oh, that was great.
News AF comes, come for the news, stay for the knife wielding monkeys.
Yes.
Great that review. Was Who awesome. Was that from?
That was from
a genius.
Tinker Ebel a Pixie.
Tinker Ebel a Pixie. Wow. Great, great job. Best review I've heard in a while. And no, but they're always, you guys leave a lot of very strong reviews on our iTunes page. Again, the 100,000th reviewer will get to go to lunch with Danny and Tyson, and I will fly in as well for that. So yes. Very, very exciting contest that's going on. All right. So follow the social, the oasis in the social media monsoon at Danny Bryson, the social media monsoon himself at Tyson Apostle. I am at Rob Cicerino. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre, who puts this show all together. Join us live next week as well on Blab. News AF is Tuesday AF, 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Anything else, guys?
No.
Have a good one, everybody.
Nope.
All right. Take care. Bye.